I'm Coach Seb, and this is Running New Mexico. All right, joining me today is Andrew Bosquez. He is a Hobbs graduate, currently a Sam Houston State Bearcat. This last year, he was sixth in cross country at the Southland Conference Championships and 20th at the South Region Cross Country Champions. He holds a 157.800 PR, a 411 mile PR, 1449 5K PR. And thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Honestly, I just want to take the time to thank you for having me on here. And I also want to thank you for having this podcast, because you don't really see New Mexico runners getting the recognition they really deserve, because Texas is like a bigger town, bigger city. So you don't really see people going out there searching for New Mexico runners or just focused on New Mexico running programs. So I really think this is cool that you're taking the time to do this and reaching out to people.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, that's basically why I started it. You know, I grew up here in New Mexico and hearing stories of some amazing people, and I ran against some amazing people and now coach. And, you know, I just feel like there's so many awesome podcasts out there that showcase some amazing athletes, some amazing runners, but we do have a lot of amazing people in this state with some awesome stories. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Sir, yes, sir.
You know, how did you get into running?
Oh, so back whenever I was in eighth grade, I would just join track for fun, because I was a basketball player. So everyone on the basketball team was like, you never get tired whenever we're doing running drills or whenever we have our conditioning days. I was just like, it's just like we run so short of a distance. Like, why should we get so tired? And then they're all like, I want you to try out for track. One of the coaches told me. I was like, okay. So he put me in the mile, and the first meet, I crushed it. I literally got first by like 400 meters. It wasn't even a competition. So I was like, okay. But then my freshman year of high school, my dad decided we're going to move to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I was on the basketball team once again, and I was like, I'm not going to join track. This is a bigger city here in New Mexico. Like, basketball is my main sport. I'm going to try to focus on basketball. And the same thing happened. We had a conditioning day, and they were all like, why don't you do track to stay in shape for the off season? I was like, oh, okay, I'll try it. And then in Albuquerque, that's like your bread and butter for running. There's so many amazing places to go out there and run. There's so many like professionals go out there and like do hill training over there, and the elevation is just where that's just like where it's at for runners. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'll go ahead and join. And I went, and my first meet, I ran the 2 mile, and I remember, I forgot this kid's name, but I beat him, and he was like, he got second at state the previous year. And they're like, do you know what you just did? I was like, no, what did I just do? They're like, you don't know who you just beat? I was like, no. They're like, oh my gosh. And they're like, are you going to run cross country? I was like, what's cross country? They're like, really? And I was like, I don't know what cross country is. And they're like, bro, you have to try it. I was like, okay. So my freshman year goes by. We decided to come back to Hobbs. And my friends down here were like, so are you going to do track again? I was like, yeah, I'll do track for my 10th grade year, my sophomore year. And then some kids from the cross country team came up to me like, you should do cross country. I was like, why? Like, we were so close to winning state in the previous years. We think we just need another strong person to help out the team. And I was like, okay, I'll go ahead and try. And the first year, I remember we had some new coach. It was her first year ever coaching running, doesn't have any experience before. They just needed a coach. So she was like, okay, I'll try to do it. And I believe we got second, and I believe I got 18th at state that year. And the previous coach, Bob Jackson, amazing guy. Thank you for him for everything he's done. He came back and out of retirement, and he was like, do you think you could be a state champion? I was like, oh, heck no. There's no way I could go out there and be a state champion. So He's like, okay. He was like, come over here. I was like, okay. And he had a piece of paper. He was like, look how many people are on this list. Okay. Look how many seniors are on this list. I was like, okay. He was like, now take all those seniors out and look where you could be. I was like, oh, it's in the top 10. He was like, exactly. He's like, so you still think you can't win state? I was like, I don't know. Like, there's so many people that just beat me. He was like, okay. He was like, well, run cross country your junior year and we'll see about it. And I did. And after that, it just kept peaking. I won state that year as an individual. And so we did as a team. And my senior year, we won state again, and I won as an individual. And that's just where I took off. That's where I became a runner, I guess.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I've talked to a few people who have gone from basketball to running and used it as conditioning. But that's pretty interesting. Like, how did your coach decide to throw you in the mile instead of just doing, like, you know, 100, 200, even a 400?
Because the way basketball works down here is we have these conditioning days where we'll run 2 miles in the morning, and then after that we'll get ready for school, shower up, and then in the afternoon we'll lift weights and we'll come back for another conditioning, and that's just running the steps and the stairs and around the basketball gym for about 10 minutes. And they're like, okay, and they always said whoever gets most reps in, whoever has the most reps, they won't have to do the next set, or they won't have to do the next conditioning drill. And I was like, okay. So me being competitive, I was like, all right, I'm going to be first in the 2 mile. I'm going to be first on that, so I won't have to run the next drill. And then they seen me, and he was just like, oh, gosh. He was like, have you ever tried distance? I was like, no. He was like, okay. He was like, okay, but the first meet, they actually did throw me in a 4x4, and that really wasn't my cup of tea. That really wasn't my thing at all. I think I dropped, I think we were like in first or second, and I dropped us down to like third or fourth. It was bad. I didn't know. I just took off completely sprinting, just like any other high school runner would do, because they don't really know much about running. I just took off sprinting the first 100 meters, and the last 100 kind of got to me, and I just died out. But he was just like, okay. He was like, we'll try something else. Like, okay. He was like, we'll try the mile. Okay, perfect. Tried the mile, and that's whenever it just clicked, and I was just like naturally born into that, I guess.
That's pretty cool. It's you know, like I said, you hear about a lot of athletes who start out with something else, and I've talked to a lot who, again, started out with doing basketball and moving over. And it's just, you don't often think about basketball players as a as distance runners. So it's really interesting to hear a few of those coming up in my interviews. When you did do the mile, were you excited? Were you scared? I know you had done it in conditioning, and I'm sure obviously you were training for it at that point in practice, but were you kind of just like, this to race a mile, did that seem a little scary to you?
Oh, yes, sir. I had no idea what I was doing. I told my dad, I was like, you got a track meet. And he was like, okay. And then I was like, but I'm doing the mile. And then he was like, the mile? I was like, yeah. And then I was like, so, like, I need some shoes. He was like, you don't have any shoes you could run in over there? I was like, no, those are heavy. Those are the ones I just go out there and run in, like, regularly. And I remember my first ever long run, I ran in basketball shoes, because that's all I had, was just straight basketball shoes. So I was like, I need some running shoes. And he was just like, okay. So we went to the store, we bought some Nikes. They're Nike free runs. And you see people out there in the everyday world just using them to walk in and just right. Like walking around at the store. And they were light. So I was like, okay, like, this will work. And laced them up the meet, and I got on the line, and I was just like, well, never ran the mile before, but I can't go out sprinting, coach told me, so let's just stay back and see what happens. And I stayed back, and I remember I believe I was somewhere towards in the middle pack, and everyone else just started dying out, and he was all like, go, run, go. I was like, okay. And I took off, and I was like, I won. I was like, okay, I won. And then he was like, all right. He's like, this is your thing now. You're going to be a distance runner. I was like, all right, perfect. I'm okay with that.
That's crazy. And did you do any sports before you got into cross country? Did you do any fall sports, or was it all just basketball conditioning at that point?
So whenever I was in growing up, I always did basketball, soccer, football, all that stuff. But then in high school, when high school hit, me and my dad were just so focused on basketball. That's what it was constantly, just basketball, basketball, basketball. And then I joined track for just training purposes to keep me in shape. And whenever my junior year hit, whenever my coach told me, like, do you think you could win state? I was like, I don't know. Me and him had a long talk, and he was like, here's the thing. Think about it. You don't have to do it right now, but I want you to think about it. Like, I want you to think about quitting basketball. He's like, before you say anything, he's like, just think about it. He's like, do you have any colleges looking at you right now for basketball? Do you think you could go pro in basketball? And I was just all like, I was like, I don't know. I mean, like, I've had a couple of games where I was doing good. Like, I know I wasn't being that physical. I was a 3-point shooter in high school because I'm just a skinny dude. I was just naturally skinny. So I was just like, I don't know, coach. Like, I don't know if I should quit basketball. And he was like, think about it. You don't have to. So a couple of days went by, and then I went up to the basketball coach, and I was like, hey, coach. He's like, yes, sir. I was like, I have some news. Like, oh, he was like, all right. He was like, let's go in my office. Okay. He was like, shut the door. And he was like, so what's up? I was like, I'm sorry, but I think I'm going to quit basketball. He's like, what? I was like, I'm sorry. He's like, why? What's the reason? Is it okay? Is your family okay? I was like, I'm going to switch over to track and cross country. He's like, track and cross country. He was like, well, he was like, I don't want to take anything away from you. So whatever you think is going to be best for you, go ahead and do it. And I was like, thank you so much. Like, it's all I needed to hear. And I was like, I'll switch my schedule on my own. I was like, you don't have to talk to any supervisor, any counselor. I was like, I'll go ahead and do that on my own. Okay. And I remember my dad was getting ready for game day. My dad's the type of dad. He's so supportive. He loves me to death. He'll make shirts for me. He'll go out there and support me, like, on my worst days, everything. He'll just go out there. Even till today, he'll travel, drive, even if it's 8 hours, 9 hours away, and he'll record all my races. My dad's just a supportive father, and I really appreciate that. And he was just getting ready for my first basketball game of junior year. And he was like, are you ready for tomorrow? And I was just like, I got to tell you something. He's like, what? I was like, I quit. And the look on his face that he gave me, it was just straight disappointment. And I knew he wanted to, like, rage and get mad. And he was just like, why did you quit basketball? And I was just like, I'm going to try cross country and track. And he was like, you can't do both. I was like, you see, I was like, I had a talk with Bob Jackson, and he said that it was just going to be too much on my body. And I was just like, whew. And he just took a deep breath. He's like, okay. But then that junior year went by. I won state, and the team won state. And he was like, okay, go ahead, stick to cross country, do your thing. And that's whenever my dad found out that I was going to be a runner, and I just quit basketball.
That's really cool. And that's so awesome that he was that supportive of that transition for you. Was he a basketball player in his day?
Oh, yes. My dad was a basketball player growing up. He was going to go to college. He was going to go to D1 college. He ended up, him and the coach in high school, they didn't get along at all. So he ended up getting mad at the coach, and they exchanged some few words. And that coach back then, it was Ralph Tasker. If like anyone knows anything about Hobbs basketball, they know he does not mess around at all. So he was like, all right. He was like, you're off the team. And then after that, my dad just like, all right. So he just left the gym. And then after that, just never played again, never even tried to go back to the coach and talk to him. It was just like that. So whenever I came out and I was born, I was just his bread and butter. He was like, you're going to play basketball. We want to put you in basketball. And I was like, okay, I could do it. I'm okay with that. Like, I love basketball. I've had fun growing up playing basketball. And then when he found out I quit, he just wasn't too happy about it. Because he didn't know anything about running. He was just like, oh, okay, he went and watched me. But now if he goes and watches me and he watches me race and he knows my PRs and he knows how I usually race, he'll be like, so you won the race, or like, you did good, but why were you so far off of like what you usually get? Why aren't you staying consistent? I was like, it was a tactical race. Like, you know, like it, things just happen. And he was like, well, why didn't you push the pace? I was like, okay, you know too much about running. Okay. But like, settle down. Like, it's all right. It was a bad race day, you know, learn from it. We'll go on from there. He was a basketball father, but now he's all about running. He loves it. And that's just what he loves to do. He loves to travel and watch me run whenever he can.
That's awesome. That's pretty cool. Again, like, you know, you see a lot of parents who they did a sport, and so they want their kids obviously to kind of be a part of it. And so for him to be able to, again, be so supportive of you in that transition, and then, well, one, I mean, obviously seeing how good you were, but then two, you know, just jumping into a full bore and following you along, like that's just awesome. You know, not a lot of parents do that. So you're real lucky. That's pretty cool.
Yes, sir. I remember his proudest moment of me is my junior year when I won state. He was so happy. But then after that, I remember my coach, Bob Jackson, he said that I was offered to be in the running for Gatorade Runner of the Year. I was like, okay. So I told my dad about it. I filled out the form. I filled out everything that I needed to. And I was like, I should hear back in like 2 weeks or 3 weeks if I won Gatorade Runner of the Year for New Mexico. It's okay. And then time goes by. I believe it was like a month and a half that went by and I didn't hear nothing. And then finally I got home after one of my runs and I see a box on the front door. I was like, what is this? I was like, what did my dad order me? Like, what the heck? So I was gonna open it up, take a peek, and tape it back up. And then I realized, like, whenever I opened it, it had the big Gatorade symbol on there. And I was like, what? And then I opened it, and it was a big old plaque, and it had Gatorade Runner of the Year and had my name on it. And I was like, what? And I caught him so quick, and it was National Ignore Andrew Day, so he just didn't answer his phone. And I caught him 5 times, and he didn't answer. And I was like, Dad, I have an emergency. Please call me. And he called me so quick. He was like, what happened? I was in the office talking to my boss. I was like, I won Gatorade Runner of the Year. He's like, what? I was like, yeah, I have the plaque right now. And he was like, no. I was like, yeah, I'll send you a picture of it. He was like, okay, I'll be home in 10 minutes. Like, okay. And then he rushed over here and he was just like, that's so awesome. What? And then I went back to school and I got, I believe, a year supply of Gatorade stuff. And my senior year summer, going into senior year, my coach was like, do you want to share with the team, share all the protein bars and all that? I was like, yeah. I was like, I don't mind it. I mean, by the time I get through with a year supply of Gatorade stuff, I'll probably go bad anyway. So yeah, I'm okay with sharing it. He's like, all right. And so after every run, he'll hand us a protein bar, some gummies to chew on before we have a track workout. And just stuff like that. So that was my dad's proudest moment of me. And that's whenever he really knew that I could take off into running and I could actually do something special with running.
That's really cool again. And, you know, for all those athletes that have gotten, you know, Gatorade Players of the Year, it's a pretty cool accomplishment. And I mean, you're up against the top of the top in the state, which is, and to be recognized is pretty amazing.
Yes, sir.
When you first started, you said that, you know, you didn't know what you were doing. You just went out there and, you know, you just were good. You went out and won and it's awesome. Do you feel like, you know, again, now with even your dad kind of knowing so much and getting on you, you got to push the pace, you got to be here. Do you sometimes wish you were back in that spot where you just didn't know how good you were? You just ran and things worked out?
Sometimes I really wish that I could just go on the track and go out there and run, because whenever I did that, I was eating so unhealthy. I was running small mileage. I was letting my natural talent just go out there and do the work for me. And then growing up as a runner and all this stuff, I was like, I can't take 2 weeks off because the kids that I'm going to go up against, like at state, or you know, the kids that I go up against, like later on in my college days, like I'm going to get murdered. Like they're going to overlap me, or I'm going to get lapped in the mile. Like what? Like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to be that kid that gets overlapped in the mile. I don't want my dad to be like, what happened to my son? Why isn't he doing good anymore? So I was just like, ah, man. So I wish I could go back to those days, but it honestly helps a little bit because I actually know a little bit more about eating healthier and like just watching where I am and knowing if I'm overtraining or undertraining. It actually helps out a lot knowing that I actually know a little bit more about running than what I did back then, instead of letting my natural talent go out there and do the work for me.
You know, again, going back to your senior year, you talked about winning cross country state that year. And I think when I was looking it up, you and Kashawn Harrison had kind of gone back and forth at the Rio Rancho Jamboree run, and he ended up beating you. Do you sometimes wish, you know, I know why we have the divisions because of the different sizes of schools, but sometimes at state, you don't always get to run against the other top runners because of those divisions. Did you ever wish you had a chance to go up against him and just take him down that year? Or were you just happy with that championship?
I remember that year. So we went to the Jamboree and I was undefeated the whole year. I was going undefeated. And I was like, okay, like I'm like, my team was like, do you think you can go undefeated this whole year? Like, you think you can do it? I was like, yeah, like I'll try. Like, yeah, I can do it. Like, I was being a little cocky. I was like, yeah, like, of course, you know, like, look how good I'm doing, of course. And then my team warned me about him because they ran cross country since freshman year, eighth grade year. So I was just all like, who is this kid? And they're like, you got to watch out for him. They're like, he's in 5A, so you won't race against him, but he'll be at the Jamboree. And junior year, I was like, okay. And then senior year came, and I was just like looking out for him. And he demolished me on that course senior year. He went, like, I had no chance whatsoever. He literally trained his butt off for that race. Because of course that, like, you're going against everyone in the state, pretty much everyone that goes to that meet. You're racing against 6A, 5A, 4A, and just because you're in a smaller rank of 4A, 2A, 3A, it really doesn't matter because there's talent everywhere. So I was just like, okay, like, who is this kid? And then whenever he went out there and beat me, I was like, oh man, I literally just lost. I was like, and the first thing my team said was like, yeah, you're not going undefeated. I was like, no, this doesn't count because he's in 5A. They're like, no, it counts. And I was like, oh, no. And then we went to state, and I believe my time beat his, I believe. I'm not sure. But that kid was a monster. That kid, he is a good runner. I remember him back in the days. I also remember all the other kids going up against Devin and Jericho Cleveland. Those were some top runners that I had to look out for whenever I stepped out at state or even Jamboree. I knew it was going to be a battle between all of us.
Right. Absolutely. And for track, it was a battle. I think you took second in both the mile and the 2 mile your senior year, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was a surprise to me because my junior year, like I said, I quit basketball. And so I missed basketball. And I remember in the summer, me and my friends were hanging out at my house and they were all like, I want to go play basketball. I was like, yeah, let's go play. I was like, I'll go shoot around with y'all. And then we went to the gym and we seen some kids that we always played against. And they were all like, oh, y'all aren't good. Y'all couldn't beat us. And they were just talking a lot. And of course, my cocky side came out of me. And I was like, all right, let's run a game then, y'all. Like, y'all want to talk so much, let's run a game. And so we hopped in a game, and I fractured my foot junior year. I couldn't go to state my junior year. I remember I fractured my foot a week before our – I forgot what it was called. Yes, there you go. I remember I fractured it like a week before, and I was like, oh, no. And I went up to my coach. He was like, "What happened?" Like, I was like, "I was running in the dark. I was trying to put a little bit of extra miles in, and I just stepped wrong, and I couldn't. I thought I sprained it, but I got an X-ray, and they said it was fractured." He was like, okay. And then, like, the team leaves, and it was just me and him in the office. He was like, "So what were you really doing?" I was like, "I played basketball." He was like, "Yeah, I thought so." And I was like, "Oh, man." So senior year, like, of course I wanted to win first. And I was, like, so ready. I was so pumped up. And I think the problem that I did senior year was I tried to race a little too smart. I tried to stay back, and I tried to wait out everyone, and I tried to outkick everyone, because that's what I was known for in high school. I had a really strong kick. And so I was just like, okay, like, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to kick. But Jericho, he knew his, he ran with me before. He went to Volcano Vista, or he was homeschooled, but he ran for Volcano. And whenever I was there as a freshman, his dad was my coach. So they knew how I ran. They knew like how I was as a runner. So whenever my senior year came, Jericho took off the last like 450, 500 meters. And I didn't click. I didn't make that move with him. So whenever he took off, I waited until the last 300, but he was too far ahead of me. And by the time 100 meters came down to it, he was too far ahead, and I just had nothing left in me. He took the kick out of me, and I was like, "Oh no!" And it's fine. That happens in racing. He ran a smart race, so that's good. But I wish I would have got first to go out with some first place medals as a senior. But I'm glad that I actually did pretty good coming back from a fractured foot. It wasn't so bad.
Yeah, that's good. And it's a good way to think about that. You know, it's easy to kind of get stuck sometimes in those losses. But I mean, really, everybody loses. Everybody has those hard races and those hard, you know, recoveries from injury. And you just have to be happy with where you're at and move on from it. And, you know, you're in a pretty good spot. You ended up at South Plains first, right?
Yes, sir. South Plains Junior College.
And what took you there?
I remember I was just looking at all these colleges. I took a visit to Adams State. I went to Texas Tech. Like, I was looking at all these colleges, and I had a talk with a previous high school runner. He graduated way before I did. His name was Julian Flores. He's now running for Brooks, I believe. And so I was just like, okay, like, I sat down with him, and he was like, "So I got a question for you." I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "So where do you want to go?" I want to go D1, of course. Like, you know, that's every kid's dream. He's like, "Okay, how do you think you'll transition from that?" He's like, "How do you think you'll go from," he was like, "where you are right now, how fitness you are, how you race, do you think you can improve those first two years as a transitioning freshman / sophomore, and then have a good last 2 years? Or do you want to go to junior college, knock off some rust, learn how the college experience is?" Because I've seen some junior college kids crush down sometimes that honestly probably could place in the top three at nationals for D1, D2. So I was just like, "Oh man," I was like, "That's a good question." He was like, "Let me make a list for you, the best D1, D2, and junior college schools, and see what happens." And then I went to school the next day thinking about it, and my coach was like, "Hey, Andrew." Like, "Yes, sir." Said, "I have an email. They want to get in touch with you. Can I give them your information?" I was like, "Yeah, sure." And it was from South Plains. And they contacted me, and I took a visit over there, and it wasn't too far from home. It's the same as Lubbock. I'm in Hobbs, New Mexico, so an hour and 30 minutes away. And so I talked to my dad about it, and he was all like, "Do you really want to go there?" And I was like, "I really would rather just do 2 years." And they're the best junior college program that I've seen, that I've looked up. They've actually had the most success over the years. So yeah, I want to go there. So I went and I applied, and I went there, and I had my success over there. I had some pretty good seasons over there, and it felt good to be over there running against some really good competition. It actually made me a better runner, made me think of how to be a better racer and many different ways. So I'm so glad I did my first 2 years at a junior college instead of making a big jump to a D1 and not knowing how I would transition.
I think that was probably some great advice. You know, junior colleges can often be smaller. And like you said, you have competition at all levels, junior college, D3, D2, that can rival those D1 schools. I mean, like you said, you were looking at Adams State, and you know, as a D2 school, they can hang with just about any D1 school out there. And so how important was it that it was coming from Julian Flores, you know, a guy who had been successful in college, who was running, I mean, he just ran the Olympic marathon trials, you know, he's out there still doing really well. How important was it to hear that kind of information from someone like that?
Oh man, he's an awesome guy. Julian, my teammates and I, we all love him. Back in high school, every time we went to state, he would always go to the hotels and give us a small pep talk and be like, this is what y'all need to do. Don't let y'all's mind wander off. Don't get scared, y'all. Just, it's another race. Do what y'all been doing. And we'll just sit there and take it. And then I remember my first year winning, I have a picture of me and him. It's just me and him. And he ran up and just hugged me. And I remember like that picture is like framed. It's framed on my wall right now. I made a big old like canvas of it. And it's a good picture. It has my dad in the background, like running up to me as well. So that's a very good moment. But I remember him just giving me that information. It was so amazing because me and him had some trash talk going back and forth. We had an alumni run for Hogs, and it's a 2-mile race my old coach puts on, and we call it a kaleidoscopes race. So there's two teams. Whichever team wins, the loser has to buy the winning team a scoop of ice cream. So we're like, okay. And I remember Julian was on one team and I was on the other. And I was like, oh man, here we go. Like, uh-oh. And I remember me and him were just going head to head. And I beat him in that 2-mile race. And that's whenever I just had so much confidence going into my first year of junior college. I was ready and I was pumped up. And he just told me like, Andrew, are you ready? Like, do you know what you just did? Like, if you could beat me, you can go out there and keep up with any other kid because I'm still training. It's like, and so just think about what you can do with running. He's like, just think about it. He's like, don't let this get to your head. He was like, I admit I didn't let you win, but just think about what you just did and like, just don't let this get to your head. And I was like, okay, I understand. And even till this day, I'll message him every now and then. We follow each other on social media and we'll go back and forth a little bit. I believe the last time I talked to him is whenever he was about to run the marathon, and I messaged him. I told him good luck and everything, but he's a good guy. I mean, he was always there for me as a high school runner. He was always there for our team. And I just remember without him just giving me the small information that he did, I probably wouldn't have continued to run because I didn't know what school to go to. I probably wouldn't even end up where I am right now. I probably would have wandered off to a cheaper school, or I probably would have wandered off to just a random school that I knew nothing about.
That's cool. Again, I think it's awesome that he stays in touch with your old school, with his old school, and helps mentor you guys and make sure that you're ready for that next step. Again, I think that was amazing advice. And so let's talk about South Plains for just a second. Like you said, you learned a lot about running and kind of prepping and stuff. So, you know, what are some of the things that you got out of being there for those 2 years? Because you had some great races as well. I think you were 13th at the junior college national championships, not last year, but the year prior.
So going into my freshman year of junior college, I was just so ready. I was so pumped up. Like I had all this energy, and I put all my energy to that freshman year. And I was like, I'm going to prove myself. I want to prove that they put me here for a reason. So we went out to nationals and I had one heck of a race. I did really good. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I really just did that. And we went out to half marathon. I believe I got six half marathon my freshman year. And then we went to indoor championships for nationals, indoor nationals, and it was at Tech. And I remember Coach Vance, he pulled me over to the side. I remember I ran the 5K, the 3K, and then the mile was the last race. And I got second in the 5K, like fifth or sixth in the 3K, or fourth in the 3K, one of those. And then the mile came up and I was burnt out. I was putting all my energy out there. And he was like, Andrew, he was like, Barton has no distance runners. And Barton was the one competing against us for first. Like it wasn't, compared to other teams, like no other team could come close to us. So it was just us and Barton, junior college. And he was like, so he was like, no one is in the running but us two. They have no distance runners. We just need you to score. Don't go out there, try to be the hero. He's like, I understand you're hurting. I understand your legs are tired. He's like, go out there, just race like you normally do, and you'll be fine. I was like, okay. I was like, that's like, you know, I was like, okay, that's pretty reasonable, you know. I was like, okay. So now I knew what I had to do. I'm glad that he told me that, because if I wouldn't have known, I would have just been like, all right, like, you know, it's the mile, like I'm already burnt. Like, you know, I probably wouldn't have tried. I probably wouldn't have dug deep to go out there and run. But so we get on the line and we start. And I remember the first two laps go by and it was going by so slow. And I was like, what is this? I was like, there's no way. I was like, I can't sit and kick. I was like, I know I can't. I was like, I just ran two races. I was like, I know I can't sit and kick with these guys. So the last four laps, I took off and I made a big gap. And my coach was all like, what are you doing? And they're like, slow down, stay calm. And I just went out there and I took off. And then two laps to go, I felt the pack just gain on me again. And then bell lap came and I hit my last gear in, and those kids that were just waiting in the back just took off. And I believe I got sixth in the mile, and he went up to me. He was like, I don't know how you did it. He's like, I don't care what you did, but thank you for those points. He's like, now we just got to get ready for this 4x4. Okay, so our 4x4 goes up, and we got first. And I believe it's on YouTube, because that was like the big, big race. Everyone was getting ready for that. And we go out there, and we get first, and we beat Barton by 1 to 2 points. And everyone just starts jumping, and we just start, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. Because usually we would never really win indoor nationals. We would usually win outdoor, because indoor, we were known for our sprinters and jumpers. And outdoor, there's just so many more other things that our sprinters could work with. So we just went out there and we did what we could, and we ended up winning indoor nationals my freshman year. And I was so burnt after my freshman year, and I still wanted to have a good last season on my last year at South Plains. So in the summer, I only took like 4 to 5 days off, and after outdoor, and I was just like, okay, like I got to start training again if I want to do good again. And that's whenever I learned that I just overdid my body, that's a real thing. Like you could literally go out there and train all you want, you could feel like you're getting better because you're going out there putting all these miles in. But if you don't have that rest, like your body is going to fatigue on you. And I learned that my last year, because my last year I did not do good at all. I was ranked high in every race that I was in for nationals. I was probably ranked in the top five for most of my races, and I didn't even place in any of them because I was just so drained. I overdid my body. I just wanted to prove myself once again. And by doing that, I actually hurt myself, because I wanted to go out there and like be like, oh, I'm running all these miles. I know I'm going to do good, but that wasn't the case. Like you actually do need your rest. So that's one of the things I learned, just getting your rest in, learning what to do, how to eat right, and just making sure you're just having a good time while you're running. You can't just go out there and wake up and be like, oh man, I have to run 14 miles a day. Like you can't do that. Like I woke up today, I ran 12 miles and I was ready to run. Like most kids, whenever they wake up, they're like, oh, let's just get this run done and over with. And they go out there and they hate the run. But you got to have a good mindset going into it, because that could actually mentally drain you as well. Like running's just, just as much as a mental game as much as it is physical. So that's what I learned going into junior college my first 2 years.
Absolutely. I think it is definitely mental. You gotta be mentally strong to do this. And actually, on that point, you run everything from the 1500 up to the 10,000 on the track. How do you mentally wrap your head around, doing a 10K on the track when, in high school, you get kids complaining about having to do 8 laps for the 2 mile.
Yes, sir. I remember my freshman year, junior college, the coach was like, "Hey, Andrew, we're going to your hometown. We're going to put you in the 10K. And I was like, "Huh?" I was like, "Why?" I was like, no. Like a 10K? He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "We want to see how you do in the 10K. I was like, "Oh, man." I was like, "All right. So we can't come down here. All my family's out here. My family from Lovington." And they were like, "Okay, like, let's go, Andrew." And I was like, "Oh, man." And I was like, "That's a lot of laps. Like, I don't want to do this." The gun goes off. And next thing you know, I'm just going out there and I was really just jogging it because I didn't know how to race a 10K. I never ran a 10K. I was so used to the 1500 or the 2 mile. And most people think that the mile and the 2 mile are like two different paces. But whenever you're out there in college, there's kids out there throwing down some fast times and it doesn't even feel like the 2 mile or anything like that because they're going just as fast as you would in the mile. Like they're dropping down some fast times. So this was just a completely different race to me. I was like, "Why am I jogging right now? Like, this feels so weird." And I remember I ended up winning that race, if I'm not mistaken. I ended up winning that race, and I was just like, "What did I just do? Oh my gosh! Like, what?" And my coach was like, "You qualified. You qualified for nationals." I was like, "No way." He's like, "Yes, you qualified." I was like, "I qualified?" He's like, "Yes, you qualified." I was like, "Okay." He's like, "I'm okay with that." And he's like, "All right." And I didn't race the 10K ever again until nationals came. So whenever nationals came for outdoor, I got on the track. And I believe it was the first day I got on that track. And I was like, "All right, let's just do what I did over there in Hobbs. Let's just go out there and race." I went out there and raced. And I remember I was just so focused on scoring points for the team. My second ever 10K was at nationals. I ended up getting second, and I was all like, whoa. And then I wasn't so used to that transition, so my next couple of races were bad. I didn't qualify for the final in the 15, and I was just so drained for the 5K. I was like, "Oh, man." I was like, "No." They're like, "No." And my coach is like, "You scored us some points, but man, you're tired." I was like, "I'm sorry, coach. I'm sorry." He's like, "No, it's all right." He was like, "I understand." He was like, "You did all you can." I was like, okay. Thank you. Thank you for understanding."
Wow. That's pretty amazing though, to get out there and run second, your second time only in at nationals. That's awesome. So you got the 2 years done at South Plains. You learned a lot. What took you to Sam Houston State?
Sam Houston State. So after junior college, I remember taking my official visit to Texas Tech. I talked to coaches from LCU and Abilene Christian, like a bunch of other schools. And then Sam Houston, one of my runners from junior college, Leo, he talked to me about me at Sam Houston. He was like, "Hey, coach," he's like, "we could really use this guy. His name Andrew. Good, trust me." And so the coach looked me up and he started doing his research and he found me. And me and him were talking back and forth. And I had a horrible season of both outdoor and indoor for my last year at junior college. But he looked at me, he was like, "You're gonna do just fine." He was like, "I don't think that you're in a rut. I don't think that you're down, you're on your downfall." He was like, I think you're just fine." He's like, "I think you need this. That's what I think." He's like, you need a little bit of humbling experience." It's like, okay. So whenever I took my visit to Sam Houston, I was on my own. My dad didn't come with me. My dad had some work business to do. So I went on my own. And I went, and it felt so amazing over there. I fell in love with how the school was. I fell in love with the scenery over there. I just fell in love with what surrounded the school. Because I'm in a desert here in Hobbs, New Mexico. So going out there, seeing all this green, all this trees, I was like, dang, so there's actually living things outside of New Mexico. I was like, okay, that's cool. So I went out there and I just fell in love with it. And me and him had a talk, and he offered me what he offered me. And I was like, okay, like I'm gonna just finish off my last couple of races at junior college. And if I drop down a fast time, maybe he'll offer me more. And he was like, okay, like that's fine. He was like, but just take your time. Don't overthink anything. Okay. And after talking to my dad about it, Coach Parker, he went over there and watched me race my final races at junior college and outdoor nationals. And I didn't do good. So he was just like, you're going to be fine. Like you're okay. And I was like, okay. So whenever we just got done talking, he was like, hey, he was like, how about this? He was like, I know other schools are contacting you, but he was like, if I give you a full ride right now, he's like, what would you say? I was like, I'm in. I was like, that's it. Like, I'll be all in. He's like, are you sure? He's like, I'm not trying to bribe you or anything. He's like, I really want you to think about it. He was like, we really think we could use you. We really think you could be a strong leader for our team. Is that something you would want? I was like, let me talk to my dad about it. So I come back to Hobbs, me and my dad talked about it. And I always told my dad, because my dad's a single parent. Well, he was a single parent. He has a fiance now, but my mom passed away whenever I was in elementary. So doing all this sport growing up and stuff, I always like promised my dad, like, I'm going to go out there and I don't want you to pay for college. You already did with my sister. I don't want you to pay for college for me. Like that was one of my dreams. And I was just like, I don't want you to waste money on me. I know you will. And I just want you to come out here and watch me run. That's all I want you to do. And he was just like, you really want to be 7 hours away from home? Yeah. It's like, I have some growing up to do. Yes. He's like, okay. It's like, then that's what we'll do then. And then still to this day, I run at Houston. My dad drives to Houston and goes watch me race. I will go to where did we go? I believe our first meet that we did was 8 hours away from my dad. He drove over there a day before, stayed the night in Huntsville, and then he drove the extra hour. He followed us on the van, the bus, and then he went to our first cross country meet. Like my dad, he's so supportive. So there was 100% yes for me going to Sam Houston after Coach Parker offered me what he did. And I was like, all right. And still to this day, my dad has not missed one of my high school meets, and he still hasn't missed one of my college meets. So that's just something that me and my dad talked about. And I was like, I just don't want you to miss a meet. And he was like, nah, he's like, I won't. He's like, my job will understand that it's about my family and my son. So they'll let me go. I was like, okay. I was like, if your job is willing to let you go watch me run, then I'm all in. So that's whenever I decided to go to Sam Houston.
That's, again, really cool. Just that connection that you guys have is awesome. And, you know, like you said, if he's been showing up at every meet, he's been able to be there. You know, have you guys talked at all about this cross country season? You know, I know things are still kind of up in the air. I feel like you guys have, your conference has kind of pushed back the start dates for cross country. But I know, like, here in New Mexico, they're talking about cross country starting in October, but it would be with no fans, just runners, just coaches, you know, that support staff. Have you guys talked about any of those possibilities if there isn't going to be any fans at the collegiate level?
See, my dad, he's probably going to throw a fit about it. But then at the same time, me and Coach Parker have been talking, and I believe it's still in the air. We're going to think about redshirting me this cross country season. So my dad's going to have a little downtime, and hopefully by indoor track, all this will hopefully go away soon. But it's still in the air right now whether I'm going to run cross country or not. So my dad always asks me, so are you even going to go back to school? Are you even going to have a season? And I tell him, like, I don't know. Like, Coach Parker tells us every day, like, it's something new every day. So I honestly don't know if we're going to have a season or not. And he's like, well, he's like, I need to know. He's like, are you going to run? And I was like, it's still in the air. I don't know yet. I was like, well, we'll find out. I mean, I was like, I would hate to not run, of course, because I want to run with my team. And I already missed out on outdoor this year. So I was just like, I don't know yet. But Coach Parker, I believe that he knows what he's doing. I mean, I've had my success in my first year over here at Sam Houston. So I believe in Coach Parker 100%. He believes in me 100%. He knows that I have the talent to do good things, and he believes in me 100%. I think the most concern is that whether or not is our team going to run or not, because we have some upcoming freshmen, and our upcoming freshmen, they're excited to race. They're ready to run in the college level. And if we don't end up having a season, that's going to kind of be a misfortunate thing, because why would they come to college and then all of a sudden not race? Because that's what they came to do. Of course they came to learn, but they also came to do the thing that they love. So that would kind of be a bad thing, but it's still in the air with all this going on. We don't know whether we're not going to race or not. There's every day there's new news. Every day there's bad news. Every day there's good news. So every day Coach Parker, well, not every day, every once in a while Coach Parker will send out an email or send out a group text and be like, hey, like, this is what's going on. It doesn't affect us. It does affect us, but here's what y'all need to know. And he'll send us a format of what they went over, what he's heard, and just stuff like that. So we still to this day, we don't know, but hopefully soon this will all be over, because I want to go out there and see people race. And I'm pretty sure my dad will even go out there. And if I'm not running, he'll still support the team, because my dad just loves to go out there and watch me race and go out there and watch the team race.
That's awesome. And that's well said. It is constantly changing, and everything is up in the air. I mean, again, even here, it's tentatively scheduled for October, but you know, that could change in a couple of weeks here. You know, it could change the day before. We don't know, but it is, you know, like you said, having that conversation with your coach, sounds like you have a good relationship with him. And it sounds, again, like he knows what he's talking about, and, you know, redshirting, because I think NCAA said that everybody gets back that outdoor season eligibility wise. So that would give you a cross country and outdoor season, which would probably be beneficial if you did end up redshirting. But, you know, I'm sure your coach sounds like he's got all those ducks in a row.
Yes, sir.
You talked a little bit about it, but how disappointing was it? You know, I think you got a PR in the 3K over indoor this year. You know, how excited were you for the outdoor season, and how kind of disappointed were you that you ended up missing that?
I was very disappointed, because I talked to the team and I was just so excited for outdoor, because we have so many different sprinters for outdoor. So I was like, I think we could do something in conference, like we could have a good season. I mean, indoor didn't go the way we wanted it to. We had some injuries. One of our hurdlers didn't have his best race. Our 60 guy, he didn't have a good race at all. Like, it was like indoor was just a completely like bad day for us. And we have those days as a team. Like, Sam Houston hasn't had a bad day in a long while. We haven't had a bad year in a long while. So for us to go out there and actually not come out with the conference championship like we wanted to, it gave us that humbling experience, and it gave us that itch on our shoulder that, like, we want to get outdoor. We want to go to outdoor. And then with all this that happened, we were just so bummed out. I was bummed out because I was ready. I'm such a versatile runner that every week or every 2 weeks, coach would be like, hey, you're going to run the 15. I'm like, okay, cool. And then he'd be like, okay, we're going to not run you this meet. We'll let you pace. We'll let you be the rabbit for one of our runners, and you'll drop out. And then we'll get you ready in 2 weeks so you could race the 5K or you could race the 10K. So I was really bummed out because I'm such a versatile runner. I was ready to go out there and try new things at a different level and see what the new competition was like, because I've never seen these runners before. So I was ready to go out there and race, but I was so bummed out. I came home and I was like, yeah, I'm home. Yay, I'm home for a week. And the next thing you know, they're like, well, classes have been switched to online. And I was like, what? And then that's whenever indoor nationals, it was at that time, and they completely just canceled it. And I was all like, oh no, they just canceled indoor nationals. Because we had one of our guys, a pole vaulter, Clayton, he was going to go out there and compete. And I was ready to watch it on TV. I was ready to go out there and go and see him compete because he does really good. And whenever they canceled it, I was like, oh man. And then my dad was like, so what's going to happen? Are you going back to school? I was like, I don't think so. And then that's whenever coach was like, so we're not going to have an outdoor season. We're still figuring out what's going to happen with how our kids going to still get their classes done, how our kids going to move out the dorm. So we'll get back to y'all on that. And it was just a big train wreck because none of us knew what to do. Like this all hit us in the matter of like a week, 3 days. So we were just all disappointed. I was disappointed because I was ready to go out there and drop some times because I had a really good indoor season. I wanted to have some better personal goals, but I can't complain about the way the season went out. So I was ready to drop down some fast times for the 5K and the 15, but then all this happened. So I was just really bummed out. I was like, man, I was ready to, with the way coach trained me, I was ready to see if I could drop down some PRs, but I didn't even have the chance to.
Yeah, it's tough. And like you said, I think no one knew. I mean, everybody was kind of going by the seat of their pants, trying to just work things out. You know, this has been fun. There's a lot of other questions I could definitely ask you, but I think this is a good spot to kind of end it with. And being hopeful for this new season. So I just got one last question for you. And that's what song is kind of your go-to song right now to get you going, get you pumped, get you out that door, get you motivated for that run?
I actually don't listen to music whenever I wake up. Whenever I wake up and if I wake up and I go out to a run, like so for example, this morning, I went to a running spot. It was at the junior college. It's like 5 minutes away from my house. So I wake up, and while I'm getting ready, brushing my teeth, getting my water ready, I listen to Inky Johnson or Eric, the hip-hop preacher, motivational speakers. I listen to them on my way to my run. So I have, like, my mindset is boosted. I'm like, okay, I woke up. I have to have that attitude, like I'm ready to kick off my day. And then I'll probably listen to like a small 30 seconds of a song that's stuck in my head or like a song that has a beat to it that I won't forget. So whenever I'm running, I'm just sit there and I have that beat in my head no matter what. Just have that beat. And I'm just going and going. And if I feel like I'm getting out of focus, I just start thinking of that song or I start mumbling that song and I'm just focused on the beat to keep me going. And it actually has a rhythm to it. So like it goes with my pace, it goes with everything. So it could be from any type of song. My go-to right now is Logic. He's my favorite artist, hands down. So it's always one of his songs, most likely. So that's my go-to artist right there is Logic, if I ever want to think of a song while I'm running.
Awesome. He just put out a new album, right?
Yes, sir. It was his retirement album, which I'm so sad for. I went to two of his concerts, and me and my sister went to two of his concerts. And so we're kind of sad that he's retiring, but we understand he wants to focus on his family, he said, and all this other stuff. So it's understandable, but kind of bummed out because he has so much more music out there that's unreleased, but sadly we won't get to hear it.
Yeah. Well, who knows? That could always come up. But again, this was a really fun conversation. Thank you. Hopefully, you know, I'll be interviewing you again here soon after, you know, everything kind of gets back to normal and you have some, you know, another great season or two at Sam Houston and maybe follow in, you know, Julian's footsteps and do some running after college as well. So before I let you go, is there anything else you want to say or add?
I just want to thank you once again for giving me this opportunity. And hopefully whenever I go back out there to college and run, hopefully you will have me back so you can ask me some more questions and we can finish off where we finished off and have a longer conversation and get another episode in for your podcast, because I have so much experience with running. There's many more stories. There's many more questions, I believe, that you have yet to ask. So if you would love to have me back, I would love to join once again. And I just want to thank you once again for having me on this and focused on New Mexico runners, because that's just really special. I'm very happy that you're doing this, and I'm very happy that you invited me to share this experience.
Thank you for taking the time to join me today. If you can, please rate and review, but most importantly, spread the word so we can grow this community. If you know of any runners that deserve a shout out or should be interviewed, or you just want to share your runs and connect with other people, use the hashtag RunningNM on Twitter and Instagram. You can also follow me at RunningNM on both these platforms. If you prefer to reach out by email, you can find me at runningnewmexico@gmail.com. Music was provided by Philip Friedman. You can follow him on SoundCloud under DJ Teach. And until next time, keep running, New Mexico.